AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN, where for a limited time, new customers can save an extra 5% on AgSaver glyphosate. Visit fbn.com/direct. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you're with us this morning. Davis Michelson is here as well.
Hello.
Davis, Greg got me so fired up.
I know
there,
you did.
I was going to talk right through the commercial. Mm-hmm. Oh, good grief. But the point being, though, the forage supplies in that drought area out west, so tight, very unbelievably tight. We've got some good forage supplies in the middle of the country, but when you look at the price of transport and everything now, yep, it's unbelievably expensive. Those calves, when they come off the cow this fall, I got to believe that there's going to be a chunk of them that are just going to go straight into the feed yard. There's going to be very little backgrounding on these calves done before they hit the feed yard. And if that cow is open, if she fails a preg check, she's going to be in the sale barn before you know what happened next. We're not done. We are not done. That is the bottom line, dealing with the drought and the impact on the cattle herd. Okay. The Inflation Reduction Act. Lots of incentives. We covered it yesterday with Donnell Rehagen from the Clean Fuels Alliance on what it means for biofuels. There are other incentives in the IRA to promote the climate agenda, to promote clean green fuels. Let's talk about it right now. Paul Niefer, Farm CPA at CLA. Paul Niefer, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm actually with my wife visiting with her siblings up at a lake called Curlew Lake up toward the Canadian border in Washington State. So hopefully my cell phone service is good.
It sounds really good right now. Don't move. You know, maybe stick a hanger in the air or something like that. Okay. Let's start with your latest update that you put out yesterday, and the title of it is USDA Doubles Down on Equipment Gains. What is this about?
Yeah, so, you know, the emergency relief program, there was a provision in there that allowed farmers to get an extra payment or extra payment limit if more than 75% of their adjusted gross income was from farming. Well, the equipment gains, because starting with the Tax Reform Act in 18, farmers started reporting a lot more equipment gains. But in order for those equipment gains to be considered farm income, their other farm income had to be at least two-thirds of total AGI, including those equipment gains. And for most farmers, they weren't going to be able to meet that provision. Now, we know that Senator Thune and Klobuchar and a couple other senators had issued a letter to FSA about 3 weeks ago saying, hey, you need to fix this. You need to allow equipment gains to be considered farm income. Well, USDA came out, I think, yesterday, or at least I saw the report. It might have been the day before, but I got the report yesterday, or their guidance indicating that they're still doubling down. In order for equipment gains to be considered farm income, you have to have two-thirds of other farm income more than total farm. So this is actually not great news for those farmers that have a lot of equipment gains and their other income is showing a negative. So that's essentially the way I said it. You know, yeah. USDA doubled down and kept their old provision.
Okay. So, and basically, if we would have seen it change and we could count the equipment gains. And when you say equipment gains, what you're talking about is rising value of equipment that they have in place right now, right?
No. What we're saying is, under the old rules, when you traded in farm equipment, you know, you traded your tractor for a new tractor.
Okay.
That was never considered to be a gain. Well, now with tax reform back in 2017, suddenly that became a gain. Even though nothing else changed, the farmer had to report gain over on one forms, and then over on their Schedule F, they had to take the deduction for depreciation. So that's what's happening, is their Schedule F is showing a loss. Their Form 4797 is showing a large amount of gain, but FSA is not letting that farmer count that gain, and so that's what the issue is. It isn't the fact that they're, you know, that they had appreciation in equipment. It's
okay.
Just the fact that they traded in their farm equipment. So it's just
okay.
One of those technicalities that FSA just and I sort of knew it was going to happen, because we've already seen that Phase One has already issued what, $6.5 billion of payments. And their original budget for Phase One was only $6 billion. So if they made this change, then that means farmers probably would get another $500 million or so on Phase One. So that's why they made the change.
Okay.
Changes is what I'm thinking.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Let's talk about the Inflation Reduction Act. What does it mean for farmers? Bottom line at first.
Well, I think bottom line, there's certainly no major tax changes for farmers, which is good. The only really tax change that might affect some farmers, they extended the excess business loss rules for another 2 years. We've talked about that before. For most farmers, not going to be a big deal. Certainly on the incentive side, obviously you had discussions on the clean fuels and so on, but there is an incentive to possibly have a farmer that wants to buy some type of commercial, they call it clean vehicle. It isn't just electric vehicles. It could be hydrogen and so on. But there's an incentive that they could get up to 30% of the cost, up to $40,000 as a rebate or a credit on their income taxes. And then certainly if they want to put in a solar or methane digester or wind turbines, you're going to have all those credits. But it really maybe isn't that big of a deal. So I don't know if you want to dig into the fact that unless you use prevailing wages and an apprenticeship program, your credit's only 6%. And to me, that's not going to push a farmer to really want to do something if they're only going to get 6% credit.
Right. And explain to me this transfer of credits.
Yeah, so let's say that a dairy farmer puts in a methane digester, and they qualify for $500,000 of credits. Now, their annual tax bill is only $50,000. So it might take them 10 or 15 years to soak up that credit. Well, what this transfer allows the farmer to do is they find somebody like Chip Flory that's got a large tax bill. We know Chip's got a very large tax bill, and he wants that $500,000 credit so he can offset his tax bill. So he goes to the farmer and says, hey, I'll buy that $500,000 credit for, let's say, $400,000, and then uses it to offset $500,000 of taxes. So the farmer wins in that they get that credit, and it's tax-free. That's the nice benefit, too. It's tax-free. Now, the person buying the credit can't deduct it, but they get to use it to offset their taxes. So this is the first time, really, that they've ever allowed federal tax credits to be transferred or sold, essentially. State's been allowing you to do this, but this is the first time that the IRS is going to be allowed to do it.
Seems like a major change.
It's a very major change because, like I say, a lot of farmers have this unique ability to not generate a lot of tax liability. Well, a large credit really does them no good if they got to wait 10 or 15 years. Now they get to monetize it immediately. Plus, like when you go, let's say Chip is a consumer and wants to go buy that new Ford F-150 Lightning pickup for $80,000. Well, that $7,500 credit, maybe you got to wait till you file your tax return, you don't have enough taxable income, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this new bill allows the dealership to automatically sort of give you that credit when you buy the Ford pickup. So you're going to reduce your purchase price by $7,500 immediately. So that's a good provision too.
Don't have to wait for it. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
And that's
right.
But that's it if you can get the credit, because there's some restrictions on what vehicles are going to qualify there.
Yeah. I think realistically, you know, if you want to buy, if you can buy that, let's say, and I'm not touting Ford F-150 Lightning, but if you want to buy it, you better buy it this year because you're going to qualify for the current $7,500 credit. Whereas next year, you may not qualify for it because you don't have the correct battery components. You don't have the correct mineral components. You know, because right now, what is it? 90% of that's coming from China, and that's not going to be allowed starting next year, essentially.
Right. Yeah. There's not many of the vehicles are going to qualify at that point. Good grief. 30 seconds.
Right.
Anything on the health care?
Yeah, the health care is a nice benefit for people like my age. You know, I'm not quite to Medicare age, but I'm getting closer. There's a couple of key features. You know, your maximum out-of-pocket for Medicare is going to be, for drugs, is going to be $2,000. For those farmers, and there's a lot of farmers that are on the ACA at Medicare, or not Medicare, but the health exchange, those beneficial changes that were applied for this year, they've now extended it for 3 more years. So 23, 24, and 25, you're not going to have that 400% of federal poverty level cliff, and et cetera, et cetera. So those changes are actually very beneficial for most farmers that are on the exchange.
Good stuff, Paul. Hey, thanks for taking time away from your vacation to join us. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, that's okay. My appreciates that I went outside. So,
all right. That's Paul Niefer, Farm CPA at CLA. Bill Northey next.